very different. We want to acknowledge that He is the Lord tonight on every level. And this afternoon, when I was searching His heart for what He wanted, I found myself in Philippians. So if you want to take and open your Bible to the book of Philippians, I will attempt to release to you what He showed me. We want to welcome also the people that are listening to this message on the internet, because now we are releasing this word to all nationalities, colors, and creeds, because it gives them an opportunity to look at God's word, and I pray that the anointing will flow and touch their hearts. And at the same time, that He would use us as instruments to release grace. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Philippians chapter 2 has an awful lot of goodies in it. But I'd like to show you a little bit about our Savior that's quite astounding. And it's in verse 7. But stripped Himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant. The Amplified has a little parenthesis there, and it says slave. In that He became like men and was born a human being. Say, why is that important? A lot of times we miss the mark when we believe the lie that the enemy says, well, everything was different for Jesus. He wasn't just a normal man. He was God from the beginning to the end. But the scripture is clear here. It says He stripped Himself. He emptied Himself. Before He came, if I took you to the book of Hebrews, it would show that He grew up in obedience, humbling Himself before two other human beings, His mother and His stepfather. I think a lot of times in my upbringing, I had a weird concept that entered my mind, and I don't know where it came from, so I'm not going to blame anybody. But I had a weird concept that Jesus was not like me. How could He be? He was God. He couldn't understand me. He couldn't comprehend me. Yet the scripture says just the opposite. But the most important, I think, of this whole reality here is if we back it up and look at verse 4, it says, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interest of others. Verse 5, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let Him be your example of humility. Verse 6, who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which makes God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Meaning, point blank, he didn't have an attitude. Here he was, creator of everything. And yet, choosing to humble himself. Do you ever have an encounter with somebody that's got an attitude about they know all the answers?
I'm sorry.
I've been there. I've been there.
Yeah.
Huh? How many have encountered this problem? Okay. Put your hand up because you need to look around. It's a problem. It's a problem because we've all encountered someone or some people or ourselves. Humble pie is okay. Okay? We've all been there. We've all done it. We've all had a war with this thing called attitude. But Jesus had conquered his attitude. Even though he had emptied himself, he knew and he had an understanding of what was inside of man. And we talked about that, I believe it was last week, wasn't it? Last Tuesday? So, let's look at that, verse 7, one more time. But stripped himself of all privilege and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that he became like men and was born of a human being, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. Now you might think, how far do you have to go? And carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should or must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Isn't that awesome? How many levels do your authorities go? In his name, you have the same authority. On earth, in heaven, and under the earth. Is that true? No, it's not. I made that mistake at one point where I knew that there was a heavenly force and I bound it. And when I bound that heavenly force, I didn't know that I only had horizontal ability. I didn't have celestial authority. What's under the earth, there are principalities, powers, all kinds of things that are happening all around us and beneath us and above us. Ephesians 6:12 is your reference point. If you look at that, you'll recognize where your battle is from. But what happens is sometimes you have to be quiet. Because many people have been taught Matthew 18, verse, I believe, 18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Well, it gives you an ability to bind in the earth and to loose in the earth. And the heavenly parts are God's area. And he will do the binding in that realm. And if you respond by pulling down principalities, you're going to end up in trouble. I did. I learned some awesome lessons about authority. I would reference you to a book called Marismos. Okay? By Randy Schenkel. It'll straighten you out. It straightened me out. But yet I still didn't comprehend the fullness of it. Even today, there was an incident that happened and I got angry at the enemy. Anybody ever get angry at the enemy? Okay. And I went to go and speak something, and all of a sudden I found myself going, And I closed my mouth and I said, "The Lord rebuke you." Why? Because there are times that you do not anger celestial beings that are doing their job because God has allowed them to test you and me, to see if we're going to respond out of our soul rather than our spirit. What am I saying to you? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says you're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And you need to remember that. And many, many times you and I have a soulish problem, a flesh problem. The mouth goes off, and it goes off in wrong places, and it does the wrong things. And I could take you to Jude and show you, but I'm not going there today. I am trying to give you an understanding that there are times to be quiet and to say, "The Lord rebuke you," and let the Lord do the work in the heavenlies where he wants to do a good house cleaning. He'll do it. He'll hear your prayer. And if it's things beneath the earth, how many saw the movie Ghost? There's more truth to the movie Ghost than there is to most people's teachings of the heavenlies. You say, "Well, it's occultic." Well, there's plenty of occultic garbage all around us. Amen? And we need to live above it, in spite of it. Amen? Do we do occultic things? No. Are we aware they're around? Yes. Do we get bent out of shape over it? No. Because the Lord's angels are in charge. Amen? Okay. Let's go back to take a peek again. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Recognizing that this is something that is actually a prophetic message given by St. Paul, that there is a day, and I believe it's coming very soon, where every knee will acknowledge. Do you know hell acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord? Yeah. Therefore, my dear ones, verse 12, as you have already obeyed, always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Now, a lot of people take this word to mean that you can clean up your own act. And they use it as a legal thing. It sounds right. But I'm going to give you an understanding that without him completing us, and without his grace to work in us, even there are areas that I still struggle with. And I don't have the victory as often as I'd like to. But I am aware that I am working out, working it out. It means there's a time and a process in working it out. It is something that's going to take a season. That could be 20 years. Could be 40 years. I don't want to discourage you, but some things are harder to overcome than others. And St. Paul is a perfect example. He's prayed to get rid of what? The thorn in his side, which is a negative force. And the Lord has said, "I've allowed him there for what? To keep you humble." Okay. So, are there negative forces around you to humble you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And are they okay by you? Not all the time. I'm glad you came. Because you see, you're speaking truth. How many agree with my sister? Not all the time. Thank you. So, the next verse is very important. Verse 13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing, creating in you the power. And the next verse is very important, or the next little word. Creating in you the desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. If you keep that in your heart, that he will create in you the desire and the power. Because if that's kept in context with the previous verse, you'll get a concept of his ability to work out the fullness of your salvation. The salvation of your soul, the salvation of your spirit is already a reality, but the salvation even of your body. Now, I'm looking forward to that salvation. I'm looking forward to that transition time. Okay? Because I believe that the body of Christ is going to go through a transition time. It's going to happen. It's going to be so awesome that there will be some that will be transfigured and changed in the twinkling of an eye. You say, wait a minute. How can that be? Because the patterned son gave us an example. Amen. And he brought two witnesses. Two natural ones and two from the heavenlies. That's pretty good. Think about it. Our God is so good that he would take it four times to make sure that there are four present. Right? Actually, there were five. Peter, James, and John. Correct? And then there were Elijah and Moses. So that's five. That's even better. I was thinking of two and two. In reality, tonight, my prayer for you is to ask the Holy Spirit to create in you the hunger, the passion for that which is needed to release your destiny to what he's called you to be. Because this afternoon I found myself praying a prayer that I've never prayed. I had a heart to pray it. I wrote some of it down because I said, God, I'm not taking any chances. I'm going to be able to tell the enemy it's written. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to write it down and then slap the enemy a little bit because he doesn't like it when it's written. He doesn't like it when it's quoted from the word that you received from God. Amen? Amen. Because you see, this is his word. He says, look, not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work inside of me and you, energizing and creating in me the power and the desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. That's a mouthful. That is so awesome. That is such a great thing that when you say, Lord, you know, I want to be passionate towards you. I mean, I never dared pray that prayer because I thought, that's for the high mucky mucks. How many know there's high mucky mucks in the church?
We may think they are.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm not worried about what they think. I'm telling you what I thought. And I found out I was wrong. Okay? See, my impression of those that are great, God says, those that are like little children will get the answer to prayer. And I dared pray that prayer today. And I said, Lord, I want to be hungry for you. Create the hunger inside of me. I'm not hungry enough. Do you understand? Spiritual hunger is something I can't create. But he can. And this proves it. This is a word that you can stand on. It's safe. Verse 14 is kind of humiliating. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding. Yeah, right. Yep. I know my flesh is still screaming once in a while. And complaining against God. Sometimes we're complaining about our neighbor, but our neighbor's been put there because God wants to humble us. Did you ever go woof woof on those? And questioning and doubting among yourselves. Deadly disease, doubt. It's really a seed of fear. And if you submit to it, you bend backwards to serving fear. I was loved by that little song that said, Lord, the Lord has given us love. Yes. So tonight, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to create in these a hunger for all the things that are needed for their destiny. Would you lift your hands to Him, please? Say, Lord Jesus, create in me a real strong hunger for all the things I need to complete my destiny. Whatever it is that you need out of me. So that when I get into the heavens, you're going to be able to say, well done. Mission accomplished. You did everything that I called you to do. And you did everything that you chose me to do. Because many are called, but few are chosen. And I want to be one of those few. Jesus, create it in me. Whatever it is that I need. I need you to create. And don't stop. Even if I get a little angry once in a while. That's because I'm not in my right mind at that moment. So forgive me for those times I complain. In Jesus' name. And heal us tonight. Make us one body before you. Perfectly usable. If I'm part of the feet, show me how to go. If I'm part of the hands, release healing through me. If I'm a mouthpiece to bring many to salvation, by all means open my mouth when it's right and push the right words out for your glory, Lord. So create and don't stop, Lord. Amen and amen. You know, our God knows what to do, and we just comprehend a part of what we comprehend only a part. I'm not being, my concentration is on the recording.
I believe that, you know, if you really rehearse this prayer, you're going to be able to add to it. I mean, base it on that particular verse. And if you have the courage, I count.